Oh, wait a minute. All right, so we will hear first from Ms. DeWitt. You may proceed when you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Caitlin DeWitt from Social Justice Collaborative. I'm appearing on behalf.
Can you get a little bit closer to the mic or speak up? So, all right, thank you.
I'm a little short. Good morning,
Your
Honor.
Actually, I think you can move it towards you.
Is that better?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Caitlin DeWitt. I am from Social Justice Collaborative, appearing on behalf of petitioners. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. May it please the court, I believe there are several reasons for remand in this matter.
Counsel, I'm sorry to cut you off. I have a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
I just want to jump right
please
on
do.
To it. You know, we're looking here at a lot of family member issues as well. Have other family members come to the United States and have they sought asylum?
In fact, two of petitioner's brothers have sought asylum based on the same set of facts, and one is now a United States citizen since he was granted asylum, and one is a lawful permanent resident since being granted asylum.
Okay, so both were granted asylum?
Correct.
Okay. And I need to help clarifying some timeline here. So when was the man who was charged with Fidel's murder acquitted? Do you know?
I'm not sure exactly when he was acquitted. I believe it would have been sometime between 2011 and 2013. I'm aware that the reason why he was acquitted was based on a threat towards petitioner's mother, who then chose out of coercion to, in essence, perjure herself and say that was not the perpetrator, and therefore he was acquitted. I believe that's the timeline.
Okay, and then did MS-13 gang members threaten the aunt, Elsa Martinez-Cortez, before, after, or during the trial of the man charged with Fidel's murder?
That I am not sure that there are facts on the record to establish that. I am aware. Don't indulge me for just a moment. I'm not sure if that occurred. I am happy to look at that over during my short break, but I do know that the petitioner's mother was threatened that they would kill her and her family, and I do know that the aunts were on the mother's side.
And then the aunts, I know petitioner's aunts were also taken. Do you know, with respect to the trial, was that before, during, or after the trial?
That was after. So they were disappeared in 2015. The record shows that petitioner witnessed several men dressed as police officers clandestinely abducting her aunts who lived next door. They went to the police to say, why were they taken? Police said, we don't have them. And then in 2018, they were discovered, and it was established that it was indeed her aunts.
And then the MS-13 gang member who gave the kill order for Fidel, was that person ever prosecuted? And what was the outcome?
I am not aware of the outcome of that matter.
I guess to take to another step in the analysis, didn't the board affirm entirely on the ground of nexus?
They affirmed
and avoid the cognizability and PSG questions?
They avoided a lot of the elements of finding a nexus. So they purely affirmed based on persecutory motive, which is a fact-finding question.
Which would go to nexus.
Nexus.
Regardless of the cognizability of the proposed social groups, respondent has not established a nexus between the persecution and protected ground.
Certainly, but I would contend that the cognizability of a social group, particularly the proposed social group, in the context of the record informs the motive, and I think here that was ignored.
So on the issue of motive and nexus, so motive is a factual issue that the BIA would review the IJ's determination for clear error, but nexus is a mixed question of law and fact that the BIA reviews de novo in light of the motivation finding, correct?
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. The BIA must, or rather the ultimate question of whether nexus has been established is a question of law that the BIA must review de novo. And in this case, they did not say that they reviewed it for clear error, but in fact, they didn't review it at all, which would have also, is not dispositive. The persecutory motive is not dispositive of whether nexus has been established or not.
Did the IJ, what were the IJ's findings on the motive underlying the nexus inquiry on the family and informant PSGs, if any?
The IJ, and affirmed by the BIA, simply said that it was speculative, that the mountain of evidence that was presented, the murder of the military father who had his, not even an obituary, a newspaper article in the national newspaper where petitioner was named, a cousin was disappeared, her aunts, her brothers were both threatened, and of course her mother. So they looked at these separately and just said they're speculative, which is a conclusory statement.
Well, I guess let me, going to the IJ's decision, with respect to police informants, as I read it, the IJ found that the evidence is insufficient to establish respondents' membership in the proposed group. And as to the family group, then they get to the PSG part. But I'm struggling to find where there is a factual finding in the IJ that could provide the basis for the board's nexus determination.
Well, I would contend that on the family PSGs, groups 2 through 5, as it's defined, the IJ made a categorical decision that those were not cognizable due to the BIA precedent at the time, matter of LEA 2 specifically, which was since vacated at the time that the board issued their decision, their affirmance.
But LEA is not a nexus case.
LEA is regarding the cognizability of a family-based PSG, particular social group.
Right, and as to the family-based PSG, I think the board cites the IJ in its decision at ER 5, the finding that the evidence suggests that gang members saw her immediately family members as threats to their criminal enterprise or sought to recruit her immediate family members to further their criminal enterprise. I think the board is reciting that as to other groups, but that kind of sounds like a finding that suggests a family-based motive that would cut the other way, right?
I think would
cut toward a finding of nexus with respect to family groups.
Correct, because the personal retribution, the threat was based on the family. The father was military who went after gangs, and then it just went on from there. These are all interconnected, particular social groups with the police informants based on the murder of her father and the disappearances of the aunts. I would also say that I think the BIA's analysis here ignores mixed motive. So we've dismissed the amount of evidence here to say that it's speculatory and the evidence is just to further a criminal enterprise. I don't think that's faithful to the record.
Well, whether it's faithful to the record or not, the board isn't in a position to make findings that the IJ has not?
Let me rephrase. The board must conduct an analysis to consider whether there is a cognizable PSG and whether there is the link between the protected ground, the PSG, and the harm. And they have looked at persecutory motive for clear error, but they failed to go that extra step to look at it in the aggregate to have that background inform whether or not there is a nexus established.
As to the persecutory motive, again, what I'm struggling to find what it could have reviewed in the IJ's decision for clear error with respect to the family and informant pieces. Again, to be clear, I think this helps you, but I'm trying to understand your arguments.
Our argument is more so that the BIA made a legal error in not conducting the de novo analysis. As far as the clear error, I do contend that there is substantial in the record that does compel the conclusion that there was persecutory motive. And the IJ saying that these were all just personal retribution, these were individual instances, whether they were connected is speculatory. I think that is a question that, or I'm sorry, would be.
But did it say anything about that, about the family or informant groups?
The BIA?
No, the IJ.
The family groups, no, because again, she categorically denied it based on the since vacated president at the time, and discussed whether they were perceived. And again, here she discusses the single news article, the reporter taking the statement, et cetera, to say that that does not sufficiently persuade the court, but that would be reviewed for clear error. But again, the substantial evidence in the record shows that those actually support a finding of a family PSG, according to Ninth Circuit President Rios V. Lynch, et cetera. I believe, Your Honors, there's also the issue of the BIA relying on vacated law in the first instance. At the time that the board made its decision, matter of LEA 2 was no longer good law in February 2025. And it's, you know, longstanding precedent that the BIA is required to apply the law existing at the time of its review, even if different from law applied by the immigration judge. So there again, we have the error of not conducting a de novo analysis review of the family PSGs, because at the time they should have conducted a case-by-case analysis under Rios V. Lynch, as family is the quintessential social group. If Your Honors have no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We will hear next from Ms. Aldana.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. Sarah Aldana, on behalf of the Attorney General. The government asked the court to deny the petition for review as there's substantial evidence to establish that the agency's decision that there was no nexus at all to any protected ground here. Regarding the clear error review, the board here clearly applied the clear error review to the factual findings of motive here.
Where are the factual findings of motive as to the family group in the IJ's decision?
So if you look to page 8 of the immigration judge's decision, this is page 97 of the record. It's kind of the bottom paragraph where it says, here the respondent claims the MS-13 gang targeted her because the gangs believe she supported the police and was communicating with the police. She then argues that the perceived supported demonstrated opposition to the gang, and then the immigration judge says, based on the evidence of the record, respondent has not sufficiently shown that she holds or was believed to have held a political opinion or any sort of imputed political opinion.
Okay, but that's political opinion. I was asking about family, and at the top of page 8, the IJ says that in responding to the Salvadoran women PSG, the IJ seems to find that MS-13 gang members saw respondents' immediate family members as threats to their criminal enterprise, or sought to recruit them further to further their criminal enterprise. That sounds like a finding with respect to defeating one PSG nexus that can only be read to support a family nexus. Well, why am I reading that wrong?
In furtherance of criminal enterprises is not a protected ground. It's not – the immigration judge isn't finding that the family was being harmed for their relations to being a family.
Well, I guess that depends on how you read the first part of the sentence. But if we're not to find that the passage on the top of page 9 is enough to do
nine
it for family
eight.
Members – I'm sorry, the passage you'd read me, that seems to go to political opinion. So is there anything else I should look for to figure out whether there's a finding of family member motive that would support the BIA's nexus determination? I'll probably ask you the same thing with respect to the police informants again, because as I take it, the IJ did not make the police informants is just a paragraph, and the IJ's finding is that the evidence is insufficient to establish respondents' membership in the proposed group. But again, the board relied on nexus, so how does that work?
Right. So what I'm saying is that the paragraph that I highlighted is mentioning her imputed police, her supporting the police, or her being viewed as supporting the police, which would be a police informant, right?
You're looking at the carryover from 8 to 9?
Yes.
But what's notable about that is at the end, there's a cross-reference back to the motivation finding that is at the top of page 8. So there's a cross-reference back. So in the context of discussing the proposed group of Salvadoran women, that's where the IJ walks through the findings of motivation, says that the various family members were seen as threats to the criminal enterprise, and then goes through each of the family members and makes her finding as to what's been shown with respect to each family member. They say that this one was targeted for this, the brother for that, and finds it all kind of disparate and doesn't add up. That's the motivation finding that's then cross-referenced in the other part. Am I reading this correctly?
That's correct, Your Honor. So these are I would argue that these are the factual findings of the immigration judge regarding the family and how they're all of their harms are disjointed and disconnected from one another. One, the brothers was based on recruitment. The aunts, it's their motive for their murders is unknown. Even in the declaration of or the petitioner's testimony, she's asked if the murders of her aunts were tied to her father, and she testifies that she's unsure. That's on page 171 of the record, as well as the declaration of the brother indicates that he does not know if the death of his aunts were related to his father. So these would be the factual findings related to the family in determining that they're disjointed and that they were not connected to one another, and petitioner was never threatened for her familial connection or for her father's military ties.
Well, I see your first point. I'm still, I guess, struggling to understand the second point that goes to that would have to support a BIA nexus finding. So there's a difference between saying that the group may not be cognizable, and your friends have raised questions about that, but cognizability is just requires different predicates than nexus. And so the fact that the family members may all kind of have be differently situated with respect to the threats in light of the IJ's finding that the gang saw respondent's family as threats to their enterprise, you think that's – your position is that's enough to support a blanket no nexus determination by the board?
Because the nexus that they're claiming is that they're related to one another, or that they have or that she has a political opinion because of her father's military stance, or has an imputed political opinion. So the nexus.
What about the informant then? The informant group.
It would be the same reasons. A petitioner here was never an informant. She never testified in court.
That goes to membership, but
right. So
why is that enough to support nexus?
Right. So my argument would be then, you're saying the immigration judge addressed nexus for police informant in this paragraph, although not.
I'm saying that I don't think that it did.
I'm arguing that this paragraph is the immigration judge identifying police informant, that there is insufficient evidence to establish or insufficient facts within the record to establish that her persecutors ever viewed her as a police informant or imputed a police informant perspective on her.
Can you point me to the words that you're gleaning that from?
So the very first sentence here, respondent claims the MS-13 gang targeted her because the gangs believe she supported the police
and was communicating
with the police. So that would be alluding to police informant.
Communicating with the police.
Right. And then the immigration judge is talking about political opinion and police informant in this paragraph. And it's applying the same facts to both of those protected grounds that either Isaac or Miguel has never identified or imputed or within their care, their behaviors or stated anything that she had any sort of police informant or political opinion. It was rather just a personal dispute regarding child support. And the record is clear on that Miguel stated that he wanted her to remove the complaints because he did not want to get the police involved.
Well, so I guess trying to figure out how to put this together and add up these disparate sentences across into sufficient findings for the board to rely upon. Later on in withholding, and this is at 12 of the IJ's decision, ER 101, makes the observation that even under the lower nexus standard for withholding of removal, so kind of setting aside the nexus standard, the court finds that respondent has not established a cognizable social group. I'm trying to understand whether that's the best reading of the IJ's decision is to have engaged in motives underlying nexus, at least with respect to the two sections on family and police informant that don't specifically don't clearly call out motivation.
Well, I would say that the next sentence, further respondent failed to establish that she held a political opinion or that the assailants imputed one onto her.
I'll grant you that, but that doesn't go to family or informant.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would argue that that paragraph under Salvadoran women would be the factual findings for the family. And then the board applied de novo review and applied the correct legal standard and determined that those factual findings were not clearly erroneous and then applied its own de novo review. So I would argue that the meat of the immigration judge's factual findings would be in that paragraph.
Just to be clear, the paragraph?
Under Salvadoran women nexus determination. Top
of page 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just it overall in this case, there's just simply no nexus to protected ground. That the only reason for the harm here for this petitioner was a personal dispute regarding child support and gang violence regarding her family's harm. If there are no other questions, the government asks the court to deny petition for review.
All right. Thank you, counsel. We'll hear rebuttal now.
Well, Your Honors, I would start by pointing out something that the government made a point that political opinion and police informant are separate protected grounds. There's political opinion and there is particular social group, membership in a particular social group. And the fact that police informant was not analyzed for its cognizability, you cannot substitute political opinion for the cognizability of that social group. Further,
and why is that? Why wouldn't those overlap?
Because, Your Honor, police informants or witnesses, et cetera, however it's contemplated by Enriquez Rivas, you still have to consider immutability, social distinction, particularity. You don't need that in political opinion. Political opinion is whether you have it or not, or whether you are perceived to have
it.
But
on the question of nexus, your opponent's argument is that the IJ discussed the two together in this carryover paragraph from 8 to 9, which starts with the claim. It addresses jointly the claim that respondent claims that the MS-13 gang targeted her because the gangs believe she supported the police, which would be a political opinion, or at least that was her theory, and was communicating with the police, which is being an informant. So it seemed to just say these are kind of related, and she decided to discuss them together and then explained and ended with no nexus and cross-reference her discussion in the context of Salvadoran women as, well, there were my findings on motivation.
And to that, I would also say regarding her analysis of Salvadoran women, she then goes on to say, considering the entire record, MS-13 gang members saw immediate family members as threats, et cetera. It's almost as if she is dismissing Salvadoran women as the nexus in favor of a family PSG. And I think we're back to where we were starting. I think the...
You read this paragraph at the top of it, page 8, is finding a nexus based on family social group? It seems the opposite. She picks them apart and says, you know, this one was for this reason, this one's for another, this hasn't been shown. This she's saying, as counsel described it, they're all disjointed. So it doesn't add up to a family-based motivation. It was just over the course of however many years they went after different members of this family for their individual different reasons.
Of course, and I see Your Honor's point. It's more so that cumulative effect review must be undertaken.
Must be undertaken?
Cumulative effect review. Mm-hmm. And in these cases, you know, the reason for that is because the harm, each additional harm compounds on the other and relates back. I don't see personally how the record shows that these aren't related incidents. I do understand that is a fact-finding question. However, by not looking at these in the aggregate, by separating them, she was able to say that this did not amount to a persecutory motive.
Okay. All right. Thank you, counsel. The case just argued will be submitted.